This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great conversation and now great music, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. If you're used to tuning in around this time, you will know that this is the show that invites you to imagine that your house is on fire. And each and every different weekday, we ask a different studio guest to imagine exactly that, and more importantly, which five records they would rescue from the flames if they were to dash back inside. You only get five, they have to be singles, and we are going to play them over the next hour and have a chat in between as well. You also get to rescue a book and a film and an object and a photograph from the flames as well. And my guest for this hour, putting himself into that unfortunate metaphorical situation, is Jamie Murphy from Space. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm good.
Thank you for coming up.
You are welcome.
Now, we had you on the Roy Basnett show a couple of months ago now, and it was great fun, because I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I never quite know what to expect from musicians, because you can be a stroppy bunch, can't you?
I can be a stroppy beggar, yeah.
You can be. Have you been known to be stroppy?
Not necessarily stroppy, just hard work.
Yeah. Did it come with age, though? Because you were successful with Space. That was your group that you founded.
Yeah.
You found success with them at a very tender age, didn't you?
It was like, as I said to Roy last time I was on, it was like 16 when we got signed. By the time I was 18, we were all over the world.
And it was that bizarre, you know, sort of Britpop thing that lasted just, what, 2 or 3 years, but it just felt like it went on and on, and you were riding that wave, you know, big time.
Yeah, I mean, I know you say Britpop, we never considered ourselves part of Britpop. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we were ever cool enough.
Oh, come on. Well, why wouldn't you be part of Britpop?
Oh, we've never sounded anything like them, did we? We've done everything to get away from all that.
So what did you know what I mean? You give yourself a genre or a style?
Well, no, that was the good thing about Space. We never really had a style. We never really had a specific style. Do you know what I mean? It was just we did what we wanted to do, and we didn't follow suit to anyone.
And I suppose the vocal was one of the most distinctive things about
definitely.
It, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Tommy, when he was... Oh, God. Because he used to watch loads of cartoons and all that, rather than trying listening to what was going on or listening to music. And it was just... I remember he come up with song called Looney Tune, and it was just like, I mean, we were listening to Cypress Hill at the time as well.
Yeah, there is a similarity between Tommy and Cypress Hill, that funny sort of, not falsetto, but like a nasal falsetto.
Yeah, it's like a cartoony voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but I suppose that doing that, it's, you know, you've got a sell by date, do you know what I mean? And, you know, we did what we did.
And of course, you founded the group, and we booked you onto this show a couple of months ago, and since then, unfortunate thing happened to Space, which is that one of the other co-founders, who was Andy Pyle, the drummer, your mate, sadly died totally unexpectedly.
He did, yeah. As I say, he was my best mate, Andy. Do you know what I mean? He was the most infectious character you could ever meet. And he was dead intelligent, and he was an intelligent musician. Without him, we would have never... I mean, the Beats would have never have, you know, loads of the songs wouldn't have been what they were without Andy.
People don't give drummers the credit they deserve, do they? Because they're considered to be, it's just the rhythm section.
Because he used to help Tommy out with the bass lines and all that, because we used to have to try and have the repetitive thing, you know what I mean, but still keep it interesting. And Andy used to help him out and let him know where to go with things, you know.
So even though you left Space in 2002, and I know that you formed a couple of bands...
I left, did I?
Did I
leave?
Okay, we'll have to talk about this during the song. I thought you'd left. Did you not leave? Were you pushed?
Oh, as I say, it's in my book.
Okay, we'll talk about that during the song. But let's say you parted company from Space in 2002. Were you still knocking around with Andy? Were you still mates, or did you drift apart?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no, Andy left earlier than me.
He left in 98, didn't he?
I think it was 99 he left. Because he just had enough of it. You know, what we really originally set out to do was not become big global stars, you know what I mean? That was not what we were about. And then all of a sudden, we were famous, you know what I mean? We were all over the telly and in the papers, and he didn't like that. It wasn't his scene at all, you know what I mean? He wanted to be an underground band, you know what I mean? A cult band, and it would just become too famous, really.
It's really weird, that, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's not that long ago that we're talking about. It's only 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But the nature of fame has now crept up even more than ever. It's more important than ever for young people, or so they perceive, to be famous. And yet, you're
sad,
talking about someone who you know, could have ridden that wave for a lot longer and just said, no, it's not for me. I mean, I remember the drummer from Oasis did the same thing. He just went, nah, it's not for me.
I've had enough,
And no one could really understand it, but you've been there. Do you understand it?
No, I can't say it. I can't say it, do you know what I mean? Because... I was enjoying it. I was still a kid there. I was the baby in space, you know what I mean? Mm. I was, I'm like 13 years old and all them, you know what I mean? 13 years old. Younger. Oh, younger than Tommy. And I suppose it was all new to me and it was all great, you know what I mean? But I don't understand it. You know, I remember when you go out and people would be staring at you and I'd be like, who's that looking at? You know what I mean? Wanting to turn a fight with people and all that because I just couldn't understand.
Were you still going out in Liverpool when you're at the height of your fame? Or were you down in London by then?
Down in London mostly. But when I come out to Liverpool, I used to have to have a mind.
You never did?
I did, yeah. When I go out, I loved it. That was great.
Then again, some of the places I go in Liverpool, I need a mind, and not because I have any platform at all, just because the places I like to frequent.
Well, exactly, you know what I mean? Imagine doing it now.
So tell us, Andy was your mate.
Yeah.
Was he a childhood friend? Did you know him from school or knocking about as kids? Or
Tommy had known him. Tommy and Franny knew him from when they were kids, young kids. Like, I only met him when we needed a drummer. Tommy got him, and we formed Space, do you know what I mean? But ever since, from the day he joined, we've become dead close, do you know what I mean? We used to room together. When you're going out and you're doing a tour and you're doing press, and there's two do one interview, two do another, it was always me and him, do you know what I mean?
That like naughty kids being put together.
Definitely.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Spot on.
Oh, we were rock and roll, me and him, man.
Well, you are rock and roll. I tell you what, the five tunes that you've chosen for today between now and 3 o'clock on City Talk 105.9, I've got to say, they're all... I nearly wanted to cry with happiness when I saw this list, because it's just brilliant. And the first one in particular, which I know that you've effectively chosen for Andy, haven't you? Tell us about this one.
It's My Generation by The Who. It was his favourite song. Whenever he'd had a few drinks, he'd be on to me, you know, he'd be screaming them words, "Hope I die before I get old." And he used to say that to us. A man, he, you know, he was deep, Andy, really deep, you know what I mean? But when he used to say that, man, and he used to mean it.
Which takes on a fairly tragic resonance. When you say it when you're alive, it's just it's a rock and roll
cliche.
Andy
meant it. He knew he was going to go early, and he meant it, and he did.
Well, I tell you what, it's your first song on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. I'm in conversation today with Jamie Murphy, formerly of Space, now of Dust. And we'll be speaking a lot more over the next hour as well. But in the meantime, this is chosen in memory of his mate and bandmate, Andy Pyle. It's My Generation by The Who. City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and now great conversation, or vice versa. And this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my guest for this hour, who is Jamie Murphy of the Liverpool band Space. Do you mind it being called a Liverpool band? Because it's actually a world band, isn't it?
No, Liverpool's good, isn't it?
And you did, you actually made inroads to America. There was, it's the old, you know, everyone wants to crack America, don't they? And you were getting played on, you know, radio and MTV, and you were making inroads. And you toured there in 97, and it didn't go quite as well as you hoped, did it?
No, the first tour we did of America, I mean, we'd been in Europe for about 4 months, and I know we had a day off. We got the boat home from Denmark, and we had a day off.
We couldn't have paid for a plane for you.
Well, that's the thing. We had a day. They sent us home. We had a day off. Then we were going to do 2 months in America.
Yeah.
So on that day off, I'd had enough. I turned around, I phoned our manager, and went, "I'm out. I'm finished with it, man. I can't do it." I have terrible fear of flying.
Oh, you're scared of heights, aren't you, as well?
Because you
don't like looking out the window when you're up there.
Proper coward. So I wouldn't go. I never done the first few weeks in America. I think it was the first few weeks. They had to get someone else in. And then they sent me to the Priory to try out, basically. Which I did. Come back. And then we went back to the States. Went back there a good few times. We done really, really well.
Mm.
We went to Mike Myers' house. Al Pacino was a fan. Great.
Did you play the Liverpool card with Mike Myers? Because he claims
he played
to have,
the Liverpool card.
He played it, did he? Yeah.
He had a great story. He told, there's like a little bric-a-brac shop in West Derby. And he said when he was over here visiting, you know, his mum and dad are from Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he was in this little bric-a-brac shop, and he'd found this old photograph of the Iron Umbrella Railway.
Yeah, Docker's Umbrella.
Two people on the back. And it was his mum and dad.
Fantastic.
He was like, you know, he'd been over here visiting, and it was his mum and dad in the photo.
Not bad. Wait, older Mike Myers, Kim Cattrall as well. I was watching the other day. She's from Mosley Hill originally as well.
Yeah,
so there's a range of Hollywood A-listers.
Yes.
How was you mentioned you had to dry out in the Priory? Have you sort of was that enough? Did you sort of clean up your act after that? And you never had to sort of
No. I cleaned up my act for a bit, and then as soon as I got back on the road, just back to the same old really. But you know, you're a kid and You know what I mean? You can't. What are you meant to do?
Well, this goes back to, I guess, what I was driving at the start of the show, is like maturity now. You're kind of, what, sort of in your early
32,
30s?
32, no.
32?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel...
21.
Do you feel mature? And do you feel like you're better equipped now to cope with the life that you lead, even though it's not as hectic as it used to be?
No, not really. I'm a loose cannon, me, I think. And I think everybody knows me, knows that. So I'm not going to sit here and lie and go, oh, yeah, I'm all prepared, because I'm not. But, I mean, you know, do you want to live your life being prepared?
Well, I was in the scouts,
take every day as it comes.
I tell you what, you do have some suburban habits, though, because I'm not sure this is the most rock and roll thing to love, because you also get to save on Take 5. As you know, 5 records, you already had My Generation by The Who. We'll get your next one shortly.
Yes.
But you get to save a film or a TV show as well. Yeah. And the TV show you have gone for is, I mean, it's fairly Middle England pipe and slippers, isn't it?
Do you think so?
Tell us what it is.
Look, Top Gear. Top Gear, man. That's rock and roll.
Is it?
Pure rock and roll, that.
Well, I always think of the Top Gear of the 1980s when it was still, you know, oh,
don't
this
you
is
watch
the new Ford. No, I do watch it now, and I love it now. I do love it now.
I'm in love with the three of them. I love it.
And funnily enough, we have a guy on the show that I produce, the Roy Basnett Show, every Thursday, a guy called Richard Porter, who's a script editor, and he's very funny.
Yeah, he knows them.
He's a good guy. So, I'm teasing, I suppose, but, you know, kind of... I tend to think Top Gear is a little bit anarchy, isn't it? It's for many like tinkering with under engines, and I'm not sure how rock and roll that is.
Ah, oh, man, you've got to get into it. I don't think you're watching it properly, Will. It's not about many want to tinker with engines. They're hilarious.
Which one do you like the best?
It's got to be Jeremy, Annie.
Do you like
it? Oh, I love him.
Come on, Jeremy Clarkson.
He pissed me once, him, though.
He lives in Chipping Norton.
Yeah.
He wears suede shoes and jackets and jeans. He's very suburban. And,
I know.
And he's dissed you, has he?
Yeah, we've done the most show in Geneva,
yeah.
Switzerland once. Because I think we've done the Honda advert.
Yes.
For the new Honda record, that animal song.
We got to get out of this place.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we went up to him in the green room and whatnot, and he was just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? He wouldn't talk to me or nothing. I was thinking, oh.
Did he know who you were?
Probably not.
He's very... You know, the
trouble
is,
not.
He's the sort of bloke that still makes jokes about Scousers nicking hubcaps. So
he does, probably.
He probably thought you were trying to take his wallet. No, it's not true at all, and you know that, so don't you stop playing that one.
I live up in St. Helens now, so I can say what I want.
That's not very rock and roll either. Where did you grow up in Liverpool?
Heighton.
And you were in a tower block, weren't you? Because you were saying that it's ironic that you're scared of heights because you were up high. Which one were you?
Well, we used to live on Cantle Farm.
Right.
In the high-rise things, and it didn't affect me then. But now, I'm terrified of heights. Strange, that, isn't it?
Well, just keep looking at me.
I know, yeah.
The reason he went quiet then, ladies and gentlemen, was just looking out the window, scaring himself deliberately. You are close to the edge, not literally.
I'm an adrenaline junkie.
You are, there's a window in the way. Well, I tell you what, let's get on to your next song, shall we?
Yeah.
It's another belter, in my opinion. What's the second song you're going to rescue from the flames?
It's called She's a Model from Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
One of the earliest bands I got into with my mum again, who got me into that.
That's pretty trendy for a mum.
Oh, my mum's... She knows the music, my ma. All of them songs my ma's got me into. Without my mum, I definitely wouldn't have been into music. And even when I was, like, you know, 14, 15, when I was just about to leave school, she was never on my case to, like, you know, you've got to get a career behind you, because she always knew I wanted to be in a band, and she always encouraged me. So everything what I've ever had, you know, I owe it to my mum, really.
Did she have a musical heritage herself?
Yeah.
What did she do?
Well, no, she was just an ally, me ma. Do you know what I mean? But she was just a trendy one, if you know what I mean. And then my uncle Ned, he's in a band. He was in a band called Rain.
Oh yeah,
he's still knocking about. Like, so it was them two really that I got my musical taste from, so to speak.
And she got you into the electro synth pop, I suppose we can call it, of Kraftwerk. Yep. And She's a Model. We shall have a listen now. It's City Talk 105.9. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and my studio guest, Jamie Murphy. And this is his second choice. It is Kraftwerk, The Model. City Talk, that's Kraftwerk and The Model. Do you like the way I said Kraftwerk then? Because they are, of course, a German band, and that was chosen by Jamie Murphy, who is my guest for this hour on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. We'll be getting three more tunes off Jamie in just a couple of minutes' time. Don't go anywhere.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
She's right, you know, City Talk 105.9 is the station. It is the home of great conversation, and now we play great music as well, and we have been doing so already in this show, courtesy of my guest, who is Jamie Murphy, one of the founding members of the Liverpool band Space, and he's already played out My Generation by The Who and The Model by Kraftwerk. Danke Schön as his two choices so far. Both of those introduced to you by your ma, Jamie.
They were, yeah.
The man with the trendiest mum in Liverpool.
I suppose I am, yeah. She's got a vast knowledge of music, like.
And I know your next one is another mummy-influenced song.
Mummy's
boy. As well, I tell you what, your mum's got a great musical choice. We should get her on Take 5 as well.
Oh,
sometime.
She's got it, yeah. She talked the leg off, yeah.
Exquisite taste. But before we go on to your next song, which is from a gentleman originally from this parish, actually, Declan McManus is his real name, we're going to talk about the photograph that you would rescue from this burning house as well. We mentioned earlier Andy Pahl, the original drummer from Space, who sadly died 3 weeks ago now, I think it was.
Yep.
And he is on this photo, as is Franny as well.
He is, yeah. It's from, I think it's from the first time we ever went away after we'd been signed and we got let loose in Ridge Farm Studios down in Surrey. The record company had left us with a couple of grand, you know what I mean?
That was daft.
That was foolish. It was gone on a couple of days. And it'd be the guy, I think it was someone out of Genesis who owned the studio. And we found out of someone that he brewed his own cider, this industrial strength Ridge Farm cider. And we went searching for it all over the house. Big, massive Tudor mansion. He went searching for it, and Andy found it. If anyone was going to find it, it was going to be him.
Did he sniff it out?
Yeah, he found it. And so the photos just of us three, when we were absolutely blind drunk. And it just reminds me of good times, you know what I mean?
And so how old would you have been on there? Because you did say you're at a tender age, 17.
17, yeah, 17.
Was that before 17. Spiders came out? Were you meant to be recording Spiders?
Yeah,
then?
we went down there. It was to record Neighbourhood.
Right.
That was coming out.
The single, yeah.
Yeah, and we never used anything from it. Because we were just too out of it. We were there for about 2 weeks and we couldn't use a tap.
I know you...
Company went ballistic.
Did you write Neighbourhood or was that someone else's?
Tommy's one.
What about Female of the Species?
That was... you know what? That was meant to be a B-side. It was when
really?
They all went out. Andy and the producer, Steve Laroni and all that, they all went out. I think it was me, Tommy and Franny left in Ridge Farm. And we were just... He had this little riff that... Down, 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 and it was just me messing about on the piano. And Tommy had got the lyrics for it, so it was originally like a B-side, a tongue-in-cheek thing. When the record company come back, when we played them, Neighbourhood, they was just like, can't use that. What else have you got? Well, we've got a couple of B-sides that we've
got
to use.
We've got a few empties.
Yeah, and then, so when he said, when the boss of the record company said, Female, he's going, right, that's the one. That's the one we're going to use.
Which, to be fair, was a brave move, and you said before in this show that you were not a Britpop sound, and the thing about Female of the Species is it's not... jingly jangly guitar music, is it?
Yeah.
It's very unique.
It is. It's mean, you know, we used to use loads of samples and all that. I think the drums, that's a sample from something. But as I say, we weren't really, we were more into what we could do with the keyboards than what we could do with guitars, you know what I mean?
Because you're, I mean, what would you call yourself officially? What, you know, guitarist?
I'm a songwriter.
Songwriter.
Yeah.
But you played the guitar in space, though, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, but I'm limited to the guitar, you know what I mean? I'm no good on the piano. If I could play piano, I would.
Who taught you how to play guitar?
Ned.
Who did? Uncle Ned. From Rain.
I used to play, I was left-handed. First song he ever learned to play was the bass line from Psycho Killer. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know why I used to play left-handed. And then after that, you know, I couldn't put it down.
Trying to be like Paul McCartney?
It was one of my heroes.
Maybe
so. Not everybody loves him, do they?
Are you right-handed now?
Yeah.
Sounds like a euphemism for something. I'm just talking about guitar playing. It's nothing to worry about.
Are you right-handed?
I think I am, yeah. I'm left-footed. I don't mean I'm Catholic. I mean that when I used to do the high jump at school, I used to go left-footed.
I was good at the high jump, yeah, as well.
Really?
Yeah, you're not
the tallest man now,
No, I'm not at all.
This is taking a bizarre twist. Shall we get back onto the music? Your next track, please, if you will, Jamie.
Is it Oliver's Army?
It is.
Elvis Costello. First gig I ever went to. My ma took me when he was playing. I think it was Larks in the Park, but I might be wrong on that. But I was only about that big.
And that was, you were telling me before, you were educating me, that was the name of a festival, you think, in Sefton Park?
Yeah, Larks in the Park. Yeah, it's not going anymore. Like,
sounds great. I'd love there to be a proper festival in Sefton Park.
It used to be great. They used to play on the bandstand over the water. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it was Larks in the Park, because I can remember the water now.
It would make sense with Lark Lane as well, being just off the park as well. I'm just thinking, because they have the Africa Oh Yeah, which is great, and it's good to sort of experience different cultures and stuff, but why don't they have a proper music festival in Sefton Park?
You tell me.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Should we start one?
Yeah, let's do it.
On it. Yeah.
You can play with your new band, Dust.
Yeah.
I will, I don't know.
You can compare that.
Yeah, I'll compare. Yeah,
well, you can
I'll
put all the money in.
I'll do the flyers or something like that. I wish I had some. Which festivals have you played out of interest?
Every single one of them. I'm not, as I told you before, I'm not a fan of the festivals.
Are you a fan of them as a punter?
Nope.
So you're not a fan of punter?
I'm not a fan as a punter. I'm not a fan of playing them, even though you get ridiculous amounts of money for it. I'm just not a fan.
I've never understood that. Why would you get a lot of money for it? Because if you play a concert that's all to yourself, you know, going back to your Space days, if you said, right, we're Space, we're playing the Echo Arena if it existed then, you get all the money. But at a festival, people are bunking in, they're not paying that much. And there's 10 bands on that stage throughout the day, so you have to share the cash. Where does it?
Yeah, well,
the money
it's
come
a ticket, isn't it? Mm. And it's ticket sales. A ticket at a multiple 40-50 quid, and then you've got all the attractions. What are they? All the food. They've all got to pay money to be there and whatnot. You know what I mean? And plus, we wouldn't do it without getting paid a ridiculous amount of money.
Do you not have a fond memory? Is there one festival you can look back on and say, actually, I did have a good time there? Other than
probably when we headlined Redden. Yeah, we headlined Redden. And that was probably the best one. After it, actually. On the way home, we were on our way home. We'd done the gig, so we're in the bus, two buses. We're on our way home, and Franny's... Well, I can't tell you what he's been doing.
Okay, enjoying himself.
Enjoying himself. Been partying anyway.
Okay.
So the bus pulls up in the services.
I've got my finger on the dump button here.
No, the bus pulls up in the services, right? So everybody gets back on the bus and is like, where's Franny? I don't know, where is he? Finds out he's gone for a walk down the M6.
Oh, God. Has he never seen motorway cops? It's dangerous.
And then when we got him back on the bus, he was just like, I've just been for a walk. He's listening to this as well, so I hope it brings back some memories.
And I mentioned your new band now, Dust.
Yeah.
Dust. It's Franny's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, it's mine and Franny and Vince. I had a band after the last Space called Firehead, and that was probably like more Britpop than what I've ever been, you know what I mean? Mm. It was just a guitar band, and it was no good. It was non-incest. It was like wallpaper, you know what I mean? But without Franny, I couldn't. If Franny left this band, I don't think I'd carry on, to be honest, like, because it's just, he brings all the incest and stuff to it, you know what I mean?
So if that was just like Britpop, what's Dust? Is Dust going back to your Space days of just experimenting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're just trying to push the envelope further than anyone else, do you know what I mean? It's just one of them ones.
And when will we hearing Dust gig or some output?
We've only played once, we're doing our second gig on the 11th of September, the Zanzibar, with Dixie, with the Sums. So that'll be the next one.
Fantastic. If you want to hear Jamie play with Dust, then Zanzibar on the 11th. In the meantime, and we've got through this for a very rambling way, you may have mentioned about 5 minutes ago, this is my fault entirely, you mentioned Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
Yeah.
It was another song that came to you via your mum,
yep.
And we're going to hear it now on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. And you know, the beautiful thing about this show is we get someone coming in every day. Today it's Jamie Murphy from Space, picking five great tunes. The only problem is that we gas during the tunes, so I don't get to listen to them, but I get gossip instead, and unrepeatable gossip from Jamie Murphy during that, so thank you for that. If you want to know what it was, just stop me in the street and I'll tell you. Right.
I've just told him the truth, Franny.
Franny, yeah. We'll get Franny in as well sometime and see if he can defend himself. But Franny, you're a very naughty boy. In the meantime, Jamie, you've sort of said that you sail close to the wind, you're a little bit on the edge.
Yep.
But the book you've chosen is, it's the good book. It's the Bible.
It's the Bible, isn't it?
Why are you going to rescue this?
I've only just started reading it. As you know, it's a very long book. I've only just started reading it the last couple of months.
You know he dies at the end, don't you?
Apologies
for that if anyone doesn't.
I'm a believer anyway. I've got a big tattoo of Jesus on my back, so I'm a believer, you know what I mean?
I just noticed, because you've got a lot of ink actually. Let's not mention that one. That's a girl's name, but lift up that's a cross, isn't it? Was that done for religious reasons? You're just showing me now your left bicep, which has got a big kind of Celtic cross on it.
It's Irish, family background. Yeah, they're all Celts like, so I've got one on my leg as well. I've got that for my granddad. That for my daughter, my little girl's name. And I've got Jesus on my back.
So you really got Jesus on your back? Can we have a look? Hang on, I'm just gonna say for those listening at home, Jamie is just lifting up his shirt, and you actually have got a proper image of Jesus Christ in a sort of crucifixion pose on your back. How long have you been would you call yourself a Christian then? You're a believer?
I'm a believer, yeah. I'm a believer. You've got to have something to believe in, man. I've had too many people close to me dad, you know what I mean? And the closest person I've ever been to was my granddad. And I don't really think he was a believer, you know what I mean? And I was there when he died, when he passed away. We had all of his hand and whatnot. And I just want to, you know, if that's me, I want to know I'm going somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
I'm guessing, were you raised as a Roman Catholic?
Yeah.
So is that the church you follow now? Have you sort of found a different
way forward? Still a Catholic.
So there you go. Yep. And what did you, have you shown your mum that tattoo?
Which one?
Your Jesus one on
your
back.
Yeah, of course.
When did you get it?
Eight, 9 years ago.
That's a bold statement to be making, because normally when people get tattoos, they get some meaningless Chinese symbol or something on their shoulder or something that doesn't mean anything.
I try and make sure that all the tats that I get, they've all got a meaning to them, you know what I mean?
Have you got a favoured shop that you go to get them done?
There's a guy named Richie on opposite the police station.
In town, you're
Cheapside.
Talking?
Cheapside, Richie's name is, and he's the one who's done the one on my back. He's really, really, really good.
It's great. It's you're surprising me now, because I didn't know you were going to say that. I thought you might just say the Bible because it's the most influential book of all time. So you're sort of, have you got it by your bed and you're like ploughing through it a bit at a time?
It's you know, it's quite hard to understand. Do you know what I mean? I know what you got taught in school and when you're being going to church and all that, it doesn't seem to make any sense, but when you read the book, it sort of does.
And do you go to Mass on a Sunday?
No.
Are you going to start?
No.
So it's like a private sort
of thing? I don't think you need to, you know what I mean? I don't think you need to. You need to. If you believe, you believe, and if you live your life that way, you don't need to go to a church to prove it.
There you go. If you want some more surprises, I suspect that we may have a few in store, because Jamie Murphy is my guest for this hour on Take 5. He is being honest and frank, and also he is choosing some fantastic tunes. One coming up from a seminal Liverpool band, and also, well, one coming up by another seminal Liverpool band called the Beatles. I think you may have heard of them. Stick around, City Talk 105.9.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed, City Talk 105.9 is the station. It's the home of great music and great conversation, courtesy this hour of my guest, Jamie Murphy. He was the founder member, or one of the founder members, of the Liverpool band Space. He has now got his own band called Dust, which has got...
Space Dust,
yeah. Is that why you did it, by the way?
No. I think Dust is an awful name.
Who thought of it? Is it Franny? Franny. You're going to blame Franny for that as well, eh?
No, I think... Franny.
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible name.
Why did you let him do it?
Bigger than me.
Does the name of a band really matter? Because, I mean, who thought of Space? That's a fairly strange...
Well, do you know where I got Space from? Here's a good link for you. The real people used to have a song called Space.
Ah.
And as I've said, they were... My heroes, Chris and Tony, songwriting heroes.
Do you know what? It's like we could have scripted this, isn't it?
I know.
We haven't.
So that's where I got the name from. I didn't know it, like, you know what I mean? The Chris and Tony know where we got the name from.
And that's
from one of their songs.
And that's Chris Griffiths. He's not related to Franny Griffiths, is he?
No.
Chris is going to be my guest on tomorrow's Take 5 between 2 and 3 on City Talk 105.9. So if you've enjoyed hearing Jamie's tales of music and madness, then hopefully you'll enjoy hearing Chris's as well. He is from The Real People, and it's your next track that you've chosen, which is?
A song called The Truth. I've tried to rip it off loads of times, never got nowhere close to it.
It's got what I love about this, and I've got to be honest, I wasn't familiar with it before you told me you were choosing it. It's got like
the
a really insistent guitar riff all the way
through. It's great, isn't it?
It sounds a bit like Ocean Colour Scene.
Well before the Ocean Colour Scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also sounds a bit Irish folky as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about The Real People is people forget this, but you know, without them there would have been no Oasis. And if you listen to that, there's some of the Oasis singles. It's The Real People all over. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think it's a travesty that they've never become absolutely massive.
And the styling as well. I mean, if you look at some of those early Real People
shots,
publicity shots, album sleeves, that sort of thing, it's that kind of cool Scally look, isn't it?
But, well, they took them under the wing, though. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Oasis took them under the wing.
But you can tell us again.
Well, Oasis took them under the wing. Oh, they're wrong the other way around.
The real people took them under the wing,
you know what I mean? And I think they wanted to become a bit massive. I think they got treated pretty crappily.
Well, we shall have to hear from Chris about that tomorrow, because I know that they wrote a couple of tracks on Definitely Maybe, which they're not allowed to talk about in detail. But there was a payment made, and that was that, really. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine?
Not only that, it's, you know, they influenced them as well. The way they because I heard Oasis before, pre Real People days. You know what I mean? And they weren't nowhere near as good. Well, I'm not saying otherwise, they're an amazing band, but you know, I think the real people should take a lot more credit than what they do or what they have had.
Well, for those who haven't heard it, like me, until yesterday, then let's hear a bit of that insistent guitar riff now, shall we? This is The Truth by The Real People on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. That is The Real People and The Truth. And as previously mentioned, if you want to hear what Chris Griffiths has to say... I was going to call him Chris Griffin then. Isn't he the guy of Family
Yeah,
guy?
Family. It looks like him, actually.
No, he's not got to see that much. Because tell you what, on the video, to the truth, it's kind of the early 90s. They're looking very pretty, aren't they? The wavy, wavy hair. Looks a bit like Miles out of the Wonder Stuff. let's hope he doesn't look like Chris Griffin. It's Chris Griffiths. He will be on this show tomorrow between 2 and 3pm on City Talk 105.9, talking us through the five songs he would rescue from the flames of his metaphorically burning house, plus some other items as well. Jamie Murphy is doing that today. He's from space. Not the place, the band.
Literally.
And, although you may disagree on that. And you get to save an object as well, Jamie. And you've gone for two. It's a toss-up.
Yep.
Firstly, you mentioned earlier your granddad, who you were with when he died.
Yep.
He gave you an Omega watch before he died. Are you wearing... No, you're not wearing a watch
now. No, I won't wear that no more, because just in case anything ever happens to it, it's in the safe.
So it's like, is it a posh one? Or
it is, yeah.
And sentimentally valuable.
It's more to the point. Massively, massively sentimentally valuable.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, you can wear the watch, because most people are wearing
a
watch.
I can wear the watch in my car.
In your car, which is the other thing you're going to save, which again goes back to this Top Gear thing. You're obviously a bit of a petrol head.
Oh, terrible.
Tell me about the car you're going to save.
It's my old Range Rover. I've got a dead old one. Big old green thing.
Is that from the days when posh people drove them instead of when like rappers and footballers drove them?
I think it is, yeah.
I think if it's green, it will be, because I don't even think they make them green anymore.
No, they do.
Is it one of those proper old... Yeah. They call them Vogue.
Classics. It's an SE Vogue.
It is a Vogue.
It's got everything on it.
What sort of, roughly, is it, 10, 15 years old?
No, it's 16.
You're like a lord of the manor. You're living out in the sticks in St Helens, driving around in a Range Rover. Do you go to, like, you know, the hunts and stuff as well?
No, but they do it right at the back of my house. So you hear the gunshots every day.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So you got the Range Rover. Is that sort of, is that just your one car, or do you have a runabout as well?
I've got a runabout as well.
Because they're gas guzzlers, aren't they,
it's on the LPG, my Range Rover.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go. Ecological as well. Yeah. Do you sort of look at Range Rovers and feel a bit sad? Because they used to be a bit of a tough
wags car now, aren't they?
Well, they are, and I just think they've lost a lot of the character.
I think the thing is, the new ones, you don't ever see wags driving them, or girls driving them with blonde hair, you know what I mean? But the one I've got's a proper man's car.
Yeah, it's a man's Range Rover.
Has it got mud on, like men inside, yeah.
Has it got mud on the wheel arches?
It has, yeah.
It's not
take
just
it off
been taken,
road, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
So do you know what you're doing, or do you just sort of thrash around in the mud?
Yeah, just thrash around in the mud, really.
No, it's good.
I don't know what I'm doing.
That's good fun.
I love my cars, though, but I always have done it. It's where I've spent most of my money over the years.
Very briefly, what else have you treated yourself to over the years?
Oh, M3, convertible. Another Range Rover, AMG Merc, 7 Series.
We should get you on Top Gear.
I know they should.
Would you like to do that star in a car thing?
What?
Would you like to do that star in a reasonably priced car?
I'd love to do it, yeah, because I'd wipe the floor with every single one of them.
Well, I tell you what, when Dust hits the big time again, your new band, and you're riding high in the charts, we'll make sure we get you on Top Gear.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what I'm talking about, as if I've got some inside track on Top Gear, but I know someone who works there, I can get you in there.
Will promised.
Absolutely, yes. Tell them I sent you. And we've got one more tune to get out from you. It's a Beatles classic, All You Need Is Love. Does this need any explanation?
Well, I don't know. I think this day and age, it's, you know, people have forgotten what Lennon used to say was, you know, let's make love, not war. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's forgotten at the minute. You know, so it's quite poignant that all you need is love. You know what I mean?
Absolutely right. Jamie Murphy will be playing with his new band Dust at Zanzibar on September the 11th. Get in early for tickets. Jamie, thanks for joining us on Take 5 today.
Welcome. Thanks
it's been
a lot.
Fantastic fun. Not news is next. News is next, followed by Drive with Howard Hughes, and I'll be back tomorrow from 2 p.m. in the company of Chris Griffiths from The Real People.